Okay, so like I said, the you know the next few weeks there aren't that many left as Mahan. We're gonna do, I hope, topics a little bit more, a little less in depth, so that we can try to cover a few key topics. I mean, you're never gonna cover you know everything in a Maseches. That's how things work. But I want to do Be'er Shviat. We started talking about it at the end of last Mahan. And much of the ninth parak is much of the ninth parak is about Biur. We're not going to go through the whole ninth parak, but I do want to focus on the broad strokes of it. But instead of running through Yerushalmi, both of these drasha appear in the Yerushalmi. But I want to focus start there, right? Because as you know, I've mentioned at different points of the year, which I don't know if I've done this before this year, right? But one of the, have I done with you why I care about doing drasha? No, I think I have. Right, so let me, I just want to read you one Rambam. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchot Talmud Torah, in the first parak, the Rambam tells you, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that you're supposed to divide up your learning in two thirds. Okay? Chayav l'shalesh etzman l'midato, shlish b'torah shebichtav, shlish b'torah shebal peh. Right, so the Gemara says, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. Right, a third to Tanakh. Right. So how does the Rambam understand Talmud? So the Rambam says, shlish yavin v'yaskil acharit davar merishito. A third of your time to divide to understanding the end of something from the beginning, meaning be able to trace the logical process. V'yotzi davar mi davar, to extrapolate. V'yadame davar le davar, and compare. V'yavin b'midot sh'atorah nidresh behen, and understand the midot, right? The different methods used to expound the Torah. Ad she'idah heyachu ikar ha'midot, until you understand the essential principles. V'heyach yotzi ha'amur ha'asur v'amutar, v'chayotzi behen, and how that which is forbidden, that which is permitted, emerges for them, midvarim shelaman bipi ha'shmua. V'inyan zeh hua nikra gemara. That's what gemara means. Right? So for the Rambam, gemara means not just lamdus, right? It requires you to understand the path taken from Torah Shebichtav to Torah Shebal Peh. Right? To understand that path. And therefore, I always try, especially when it is front and center in the Gemara, you know, which is not—it's not always in the Gemara. Right? Sometimes you have to go back into the Shalacha, but definitely in this case, where both of these drushas appear in the Yerushalmi, I want to see it from the beginning. So, what we're going to start with is two passages in the Sifra. Okay, so we've talked about, right, there is at some point in Shemitah, Rechiyuv Biur. Right, there's a point until which you can eat the Perot as long as you adhere to the rules, and then something changes and you hit the period of Biur, whatever that means. And as we've talked about, that might mean destroying, it might mean remafkiring it, it might mean both, right, as we'll see in the Ravid. Well, the Ravid's going to, well, you'll see. What happens here? It's like since and that's so where does this idea come from? Okay, so the Gemara, the Sifra, and then the Yerushalmi following the Sifra, and at least one of these drashot is quoted in the Bavli and Psachim Daf and Bet. Right, so it offers two drashot. So what are the drashot? Let's try to understand them, okay? Let's see what we can do, okay? If we only get the drashot down today, that's fine. Yes, congratulations, okay? Let's try to trace this, okay? So what's the first thing you should do? Obviously, you should know the pasuk. So what's the pasuk? Let's go back to the Torah. Anyone bother looking up the pasuk and remembering where you are?
Yeah.
Yes, good. Okay, what is the pasuk?
Saying that,
right, so let's read it again. Right, so it's Vaita Shabbat Aritz Lachem Lachlal Vavdecha Vamatecha Vatschircha Utoshavecha Garim Imach. This is Vayikra Chafei. Pahar. So the land, it'll be a risk for the land to eat you, your servants, for you to eat, not for you to eat your servants, for you to eat, for your servants to eat, your maidservants to eat, your workers, your hired workers, right? The sojourners, laborers. And your animals, your domesticated animals, and your non-domesticated animals in your land, all the produce shall be to eat. That's the key puzzle. Yes? Good. For the first passage in the Sifra. What does the Sifra do with those words? Josh, what does it do? Okay, so first it says, let's think. Ma Talmud Lomar. What are you teaching me when you say v'lehem techa v'lachaya? Now, honestly, right, this is where you have to sort of think like Chazal, because I would look at it and it's like, all right, what do you want from my life?
It's telling you what can...
You gave me a laundry list that everybody's allowed to eat, right? It's for you, right? It's for your servants, it's for your hired workers, right. Animals, domesticated, non-domesticated.
Why don't you ask this question about Shabbos?
Yes, we do this all the time.
The first, the initial thing is why is how we learn out behema when it says behema in the pasuk.
Yeah. So right now, of course, see, Josh is looking at this, and before he even starts, Josh is like, "Please let someone say this is not a real drasha. Please let someone say this is not a real drasha. Please let someone say this is not a real drasha." So very good. So before, right? Obviously, in addition to what is beer, we're going to have to deal with the question of. Whatever it is that beer is it the right to, or is it the rabbanan? You will be happy to know right off the bat that if you just go the end of source 8, just the last line of the Ramban, because this will make you feel better, right? V'ulai afil habir kulo chomer midivrei sofer. Maybe this is all the rabbanan. V'abraitot hashnuyot b'tarat kohanim b'inyan abiyor asmach l'midirabbanan. So, if you don't like it, now Rov Rishonim don't seem to agree with this, or many Rishonim clearly think it is Torah, and these are real drasha, but in case this is what's going to shake your emuna, is this drasha, so fine, the Ramban tells you this is weird, this is masmach, okay? Just in case. Okay, good. So whether this is Torah or nasmach, what in the name of God is going on? So it says, well, umahim chaya she'ena birshutcha, Harehi ochelet. If the wild animals can eat it, behemashi bishutcha ino din she tochal. Is it not obvious that the domesticated animals under your control should eat?
This is how we learn behema, by the way.
Ilu kein hayiti omer yichnos lebehema v'dei ochelet leolam. Right? What might I have thought?
You could just take all the food and store it for your animals.
Forever. Right, I might have thought, look, I'll store it up and I'll let my animals, my cows and sheep and domesticated dogs and your goldfish, I don't know, and they'll eat forever. Mani mekayem biur peirot shvit. So what is biur? Biperot adam of behemati elchot lalam. I might have thought, listen, there's a thing called beer. Now, what's the problem? Did we derive beer? No, not yet. We've just said, well,
beer.
There's such a thing called beer, and you might have thought that thing called beer only applies to human beings.
So
right now.
So there's an assumption that you already know what beer is.
Correct, right? So this is where you might go with the Ramban, right? This is the type of thing that would make the Ramban say, you know what? This is Dirabanan. You're just assuming it exists, right? But, right, a major problem we have to deal with is what is it doing? Right? What is it doing?
I'll tell you about the idea.
And why does it take beer as a given, right? Right? Such that we then start, right? So then he says, so no, right? It's, right, well, let's read through and then let's go through all the problems. And then it says, your animal and your domesticated and your undomesticated animals, we compare the two. Kolzman shechaya ochelet besadeh, as long as the wild animals can eat out in the field, Behema ochelet babayit, your domestic animal can eat at the house. Kala lechaya shibasadeh, kala lehem techa shibabayit. Now,
so it's getting rid of the problem. It's not building off of
keeping. Correct. It's not correct. Yes. So what is weird about this? So let's go through what's weird, right? So clearly, if we want to follow the Rambam's goal, right, we need to understand beginning to end. So the words are your animals, your domesticated and your non-domesticated animals, okay? First thing it does is it makes an assumption that this should be obvious because once you say non-domesticated animals can eat, domesticated animals should be allowed to eat for sure. That's obvious. Why is it obvious? No idea why it's obvious. It's obvious. Okay? Deal with it. It is. It is obvious. It's obvious. Good. Why? Doesn't explain. We need to explain what that is. Right? Then it says, well, you might have thought that biur, which we have not provided a source for, but is obvious that it exists, exists for people, but not animals. Why would you think that? I don't know. You would think that, right? Kamash Malan, there is no kal vachomer, there's no nothing. What we learn is that your domesticated animals can eat as long as their cousins, who are non-domesticated, are eating out in the field. Now,
is it teaching you that, like?
But now, there's another problem here. Now, what? There's two factors here, right? Technically, and it's not clear what they are. What are they? Behema chaya and Sadeh Bayit. I mean, after that, I mean, even this final conclusion, I mean, just in this one line, right? It's saying, now, admittedly, that's where they live. Chayot normally live out in the fields. But, right, there is technically two things going on, which is owned, domesticated animals versus not owned wild animals, and
house versus
field.
Well, I think it's pretty clear which one they're trying to parallel.
Yes, which is Chaya and Behema, because that's what they said, right? But I want you just to keep that in mind, because let's just read the second drasha, right? The second drasha, which, by the way, is the next drasha in the Sifra, these are consecutive, right? Or quite close, anyways. And by the way, they're both quoted in the Yerushalmi, but several halachot apart, okay? Is like this, okay? The drasha is from a different pasuk. Which pasuk? Yes, key. Now, did you look up the pasuk just to figure out where it is?
This one, no.
Ki yovel hi.
Oh.
Kodesh ti elochem min asadeh dochlu et vata. Okay?
Okay.
So remember, as we've seen, yeah, we just play fast and loose with yovel, shmita, whatever. But fine. It's yovel, and therefore min asadeh dochlu et vata. Now, what would you have said? That means
that you can't bring it aside.
Right, or whatever. You can eat it from the field.
Yeah.
Right? That's no, that's not what the Sifra does. The Sifra says, no. Kol zman sha'ata ochel min ha'asadeh, ata ochel mitoch habayit.
I like that. We're bringing in the bayit.
As long as... Oh, so now I'm asking you, why is bayit important? You saw how that was important in the previous drasha? Right, clearly, kala min ha'asadeh, kala min ha'abayit. Once it's not in the field, then
you can't have it in the house anymore.
So this is a now. By the way, do you see the play? What it's saying? See, how well do you know grammar? Notice there are nukudot there.
Yes.
What's the difference between those two?
One of them natural. One of them is active. Like for it.
One is
like it
passive.
Yeah.
And the other is
future.
Imperative. Kala min has sadeh. If it was done from the field, kale.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it, or whatever. Min habat.
So, are you saying the second one? Is Kozman Shatra Kalman Sadeh saying that you have to eat it from the field, or is it saying that if you have the ability to eat it?
Ah! I don't know. What does that hang on?
Like,
whether it's a mitzvah to
eat
the field. Very good.
Also, is there a difference between, like, do we say animal food because, like, animal food and...
By the way, I would just say, over Pesach, I got real mahadrin min mahadrin, mamish, pshuto ki mashma'o, right? Yivul nachri. Because I was at the supermarket, and there were no bananas, and I was driving along the highway, right? And there are, like, Arab farmers who, like, sometimes just set up little stalls along the highway, and, like, with the stuff they pulled off their tree, and he had... bananas. I literally pulled over the side of the highway.
Just to
like,
get some
well, we needed bananas, but I was like, no, this is like mamish, 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 mamish. Give an effort. By the way, be careful, because the fruits that we're going to start getting are all going to be Kedushat Shviat.
Yeah.
There's the organization that's actively, like, that made an Otzer Beit Din and is giving all the fruit to yeshivas. Like, just bringing it for free, exactly, as, you know, they're just bringing it to us for free.
So, Rebbe, are there two different, like, beer dates now?
Okay. So, we now have two drushot, which Josh says, listen, I have no idea what's going on, so it's all the Rabbanan, I'm ignoring it, it doesn't exist. Okay, good, very good. Very good, wonderful. But we have so many problems here. First of all, it assumes that beer exists, it does not source that, right?
This is the source.
I mean, maybe this is the source, right? It could be that the second drasha is the source, right? It could be that one is the source and one is providing the parameters, right? But there are so many factors going on here, right? First of all, it's not clear how any of this is imperative, but we introduce an imperative, we do some sort of comparison with the field and the house and the domesticated and non-domesticated animals. So if you look at this, what do you do?
Well,
what is it telling you? What is going on? What is...
Well, for the first comic-omer, I had an idea about...
Okay, before we get to the comic-omer. So let's work backwards. Let's work from the... Or forwards, but backwards in the way the drush is. Okay,
sure.
First question. Why does why does the Sifra seem to assume there's something called Biur, such that it can work on the details without really providing it? So what does that, what, right? How does that work? Right? We don't even know what beer is, but it assumes there's something called beer, right? Why would that be the case? So what are the options? I can think of several. So possibly one we've already talked about, which is Josh's option. It's Derabanan. You don't have to justify it because it doesn't really exist. Right? It doesn't work. Don't get too bogged up. This is a Derabanan. These are a bunch of asmachdot. Why can it assume that it exists? Because we've instituted it into existence. And now we just have to deal with it. We're doing a bunch of asmachdot. If you think that, this question shouldn't bother you. The sourcing question, right? Which is, it exists because we said so.
Right.
Okay, good. Or if you don't want to do that,
another option
was what Mordechai said was, yeah.
Learning it out from the second.
Very good. The second possibility is to read it, even though this is the opposite order of how it appears in the Sifra, right? The Sifra appears as it does here, but is to say, listen, the real drasha that provides the source for Bior is min hasadeh toflu et tvuata, which is, and so now let's think like darshanim, right? Not like, right? People who are trying to expound the Torah. Why, what is the cue? Right, so again, explain to me, what is it saying? What was the cue?
The cue is that if there is still food in the field.
Very good, right?
It's
very good.
It's a marker. So
right, exactly. It's no, it says no, you no can eat food. It, right? Because what could it have said, right? What seems to be in the background here, right, is...
This is
ki yoveli kodesh yelochem, right? Meaning, if I had to read the pasuk, I would say like this. It's kodesh. Now, what does kodesh usually mean?
Holy.
What does holy entail usually? And therefore, there's usually some sort of limitations, parameters, rules, right? Everything with Kiddush has some sort of rules attached. So a very reasonable way of reading the Pasuk is, Kodesh Tielachem, it is holy, min hasadeh tochlu et atvuata, and therefore you eat it
while it's in the field, for the proper way.
In the proper way, and then you say, well, what's the proper way? All it says is, you ate it in the field. Oh, it must mean that min hasadeh isn't just descriptive, it's prescriptive. It's telling you, this is when you can, and this is when you...
It's a time, not a location.
Cannot, right? Exactly. Now, you could have said, it's a place.
Well, it's a time and
right? It's a place. The Sifra does not entertain the possibility that it is a place. Quite. Not exactly.
Because that would be obvious.
Well, no, it would be the opposite of obvious.
Where else would
you... Well, what do you mean? You could have said... Yes, but you could have, yes, and therefore the drasha could have been, you must eat it only in the field. You may never eat inside the entire year. It's corona. You all have to eat out in the fields, right? No one may ever be inside, right? You will be out in the field, right? Right? And like, it could have meant that.
That wouldn't make sense because you say your animals.
Oh, well, okay. Well, why wouldn't it be? Oh, very good. So now Josh is starting to think. He says, oh, well, let's follow Mordechai's logic. That this is the source, right? It's Kodesh, and therefore there's some, and then it says, Ki Kodesh Yilachem, right? It's kodesh, there are limitations. Those limitations are somehow wrapped up in the words min ha-sadeh. So now, logically, what might that mean? Geography or something else, right? Something that the geography stands in for something else. Now, why would you say it can't be geography? So now Josh is thinking like a darshan. Why can't it be?
If that's clear, then you won't be able to feed the animals that live in.
Very good, because a behemoth is a domesticated animal that live in houses, right?
Right.
Right? Right? Since you have another puzzle that says you're feeding behemoth, that implies that it gets into the house. It must be, therefore, that it's not per se about eating it physically in the field. Rather, that to stand in for something else. So then the Sifra has two variations on this, right? One variation is when it exists in the field, you can eat it in the house, right? The other is when chayot are eating it, then behemot can eat it. Now, what is the nature of that drasha? Let's follow Mordechai's idea. Okay, actually, you know, before we explore the idea, before we explore this, so just structurally, right, we've said, what is the source for beer? So possibility one, Durban. Possibility two is the second drasha implies there's a limitation. That there's a time at which you can eat, a time at which you cannot eat, right? We try the geography has problems with it, and therefore we say it's a stand-in for something. That stand-in is time, since there's a time that teaches us the principle called biur. Before that, you can eat, and afterwards, you have to do something, and your eating is more limited than it was before. Right? But now, give me one more structural possibility. So we could have had another pasuk, right? Meaning, which is similar to structurally. You'd have to find the other pasuk, right? But I think the third possibility, right? Meaning, you could have variations, another drasha. I think the third possibility would be you don't need a drasha. Oh, why would you not need a drasha?
Because it's built into the
Correct. Is it could be that that if you understand Shemitah well enough, the idea that there is some limit
would be obvious,
right? Again, whether that's true or not is a different point. But structurally, right? So again, what do we have?
Where is that in Talalaka?
I'm not saying what it is or isn't. I'm just saying that structurally, it could be Doraisa because it could be under the Chiyuv or Mitzvah. Or, yeah. Okay, good. So now let's try it. Yes. Yes.
So if we're working with logic that bias would initially be less obvious than the sada, then why do we make a kal v'chomer of chayot? If chayot are allowed to eat it, then kal v'chomer, behemoth, which are inside, are more obviously allowed to eat it.
Okay, good. So
that seems to be contradictory.
Okay, good. So now we got to figure out, okay, well, what are the drasha? Now, we have a problem, because we have two different drasha. Right. One which approaches on Sadev versus Bayit, the other one which? Chaya versus Bayit. So now what? Now we got to figure out, so what is the conclusion? So now we have two possibilities, right? Two main possibilities. One is that these are two different drashot, and the other is they're two sides of the same coin. Now, to get into Mordechai's problem, we have to first figure out, are we trying to judge these as separate sources? Are we trying to judge them synthetically? Right. Okay. So what do you think? Right? What would indicate that they might be the same? So as I said, in the Chaya versus Sad Behema, what is there? There's also a distinction made between Red Bayit and Sadeh. And therefore, it's possible that all of this is really not about Behema versus Chaya. It's really about Sadeh versus buy it, whatever that means. On the other hand, you would say, why might they be different, teaching different things? So first of all, they're separate drashot. Second of all, in Yerushalmi, they're separated by several halachot, right? And they're just, like, different. I mean, these are different statements.
Even if they are different drashot, they're talking about the same halachot,
but two different sentiments. Correct. They're two different sentiments getting to maybe the same or similar or related points or cumulative points. Okay, good. So now Mordechai says, okay. So let's take Behema one by itself. What was the Hava Mina? What was the Maskana? The Hava Mina was that it's more obvious that the Behema is allowed to eat than a Chaya, that your owned animal than not. And Maskana seems to be that we jettison that Legamre. In fact, we go in the opposite direction, if anything, right? Which is, no, your behema only has the right to eat if...
If Chayat are still able
to eat. If Chayat are still able to eat. Good. So what was the Havamina? What was the Maska?
The Havamina is that it's more obvious for your... for you to benefit from...
Good. Why?
Because that's the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah for you.
Very good. Very good. So a very plausible Havamina would be like this. If you think that the mitzvah of Shviat is what? Let's say you hold like the Rambam. There's a mitzvah to eat, whatever that means. So, who can you plausibly say there's a mitzvah to eat more? That which is connected to you or not? Connected. Right. And as we saw, there is some sort of mitzvah on an Adam. There's some sort of value to my whole behema. Your behema, so you might say, listen, the Havamina is that the fundamental category of Shemitah is... God wants you to benefit in the proper way. If that's the case, then that which can plausibly be said, your benefit, is more obvious than that which is disconnected from human beings and therefore cannot partake of mitzvot sentiments because they are, you know, if these horrifying cats, right, are eating the fruit, that's not my problem and it's not my mitzvah, right? You know, if for some bizarre reason yeshiva guys take one of these cats under their wing, right, and adopt it as a freaking pet, right? So then, you know, oh, it is your problem.
Why would they be lucky at all then?
What? Oh, very good. So then Gemara says, whoa, 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 whoa. So what might the maskana be?
If the benefit doesn't give you benefit either, like.
Well, remember, it's a weird maskana. The maskana seems to flip it. Right, is that your behemoth only has rights as long as the chayat does, right? It's we end
now
up in the opposite. Right now, okay, so methodologically, guys, methodologically it's important to notice this, right? Sometimes you have a kavah homer that breaks down, right? Which is, A is greater than B, and then you say, no, A might be equal to B. Here, that's not what you have, is you have A is greater than B, and now you have, no, B is greater than A.
And not only that, the
right? So why would you say that?
One is kind of weird. I don't, because it says, because we're afraid that you're going to collect all the fruit into your house, that... How is that a rejection of their...
Oh, very good. And then Mordechai says, but wait a second, there's actually a bridge between that, right? There's a bridge between that, right? It doesn't actually jump from A is greater than B to B is greater than A. It says A is greater than B.
No, wait, you're going
to... Wait. No, B is greater than something that was not part of this discussion, right? Right? It goes, Behema is greater than Chaya. Then it says, Behema is greater than Adam. And then it ends with... Chaya comes before Behema. Right? You noticed that, right? That was a very weird, right? Good. So what in God's name would the logic be?
According to that, the
way to make sure that the benefit is used to its maximum, we'd take all of it in to make sure no Chaya is seen at all.
Well,
that way we haven't gotten there yet. We've said, no, you would take it in, but let the Behema eat.
Yeah, because that would give you.
Because it's not that the behema. It's better for the behema to eat. It's that it's more obvious for
why?
You.
No, good. Why? 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 Why?
Because the pasuk said both.
Yeah, but why is it more obvious, right? What is it? Give me a now conceptually explain
it's
to me.
Sure, right, it's benefit
by making sure only your animal eats it, not chayos.
No, it didn't say chayos. It said behema over adam. In the middle, it's behema over adam. Is you might think there's beer for Adam, but not for Behemoth.
Well, I'm saying that before that, but why can bring all of them to spare animal?
Yes.
Is because then it's maximum benefit because you're making sure the Chayah is eating any of it.
Yeah, but
only your animal is eating it.
Right, that was a Havamina, but then we flip. We go from saying Behema is more obvious that can eat than Chayah. Then we go to say Behema should have more rights than Adam, and Chayah has more rights than Behema. Lemaskama. So
at least there's
not more rights, but we hold it in a higher regard.
Well, but the Havamina was the opposite,
right?
Was that we actually would require you to be mevayer for whatever beer means for Adam, but not for Behema, and then we say no, Chaya Behema can even only eat when there's Chaya. Now what? Why? Right?
Just
See, I don't think we could get much farther than the drasha. I want you to understand what's going on.
His obligation to get rid of it.
Meaning what? Meaning what? Do you hear what you just did?
What did you say?
We just said that what? What was the Hava Mina? The Hava Mina was maybe we're conceptualizing Shemitah as you have a mitzvah to eat, to benefit, in certain ways. And therefore, it's more obvious that Behema can eat than Chaya. But if you think that, no, what is the primary definition of Shemitah? Not benefiting, but treating it as ownerless, as hefter, right? Think about it, right? There's a tension here. What is the tension in Shemitah that we've talked about over and over this year? On the one hand, there's a value to eat. On the other hand, that value stems from an obligation to relinquish control.
Okay.
Right? You see, there's a tension here. Right? The Havamina is saying, listen, if we're functioning on the reality that once you deal with Shemitah, the primary value is to eat it in the proper way, so then the closer you are to a person, the more valuable it is.
Okay.
Right? But once your primary category is what?
That you need a relationship.
Hefker. You say, no, even to the extent that you're allowed to eat it, that is a derivative of what? Of me successfully giving up control. So then, the farther you are from human beings, the more hefker something is, the better. So now watch what happens here. The first stage is, behema before chaya. And then it says, no, actually. He said, the most obvious who can't eat it is Adam. Adam is the most limitations. Why?
Because that's the most ownership show.
Exactly. But if I say I won't eat it, but I'll let my animals eat it, well, you know, my animals, normally I feed them food, but like if I'm walking through them in the public sphere, they might eat grass, right, in the whatever, right? Oh, very good. But you understand. Good. And then, one second, then Chaya is the most obvious. But then what do we get Maskara? Saying, listen, you can eat, but when can you eat?
When the animals need to.
Why? Because if I can only eat when what? Right, if I can only eat when the wild can eat, what am I doing? I'm eating
what is
hefker. Right, meaning if I can only eat as long as they're, right, if my cat can only eat as long as these street cats can eat, then the fact that my, exactly, the fact that my pet cat is eating doesn't prove anything. Because it doesn't show that I'm showing ownership. Why? One second, because.
Because
if the street cats are eating it, if I decide, you know, I don't really like cats, goodbye, right? It would also find food. And therefore, the fact that it happens to be eating right now because it's my pet doesn't show that I am now relating to it as mine. But what happens when there's nothing left for the street cats? And the only cats that get to eat food are the ones that have their postulated beds, right? And they're...
And your cat has ownership over all of them.
Correct. And it is Lemaskana. Lemaskana? What do you mean?
Why would they be the same? They're two separate treasures. And human food and animal food end from the field at different times, presumably. Because they're different foods.
Here's the thing.
No, I don't think it's because you can give away the animal, but because the... Right? Because... I mean, if you would give your animal... Like, if you would say... Put it there. If you would give away your animal would not be taken care of less by the fact that it is now hefker. Right? Right? Because you're just feeding it just like everybody else is, right? I mean, you maybe put it in a bowl for it or something, but fundamentally, the food is accessible to it.
Okay.
Right?
Rebbe, it doesn't seem as though the middle section, the rejection of the initial Kal Komer, is really a very strong rejection, though. It seems as though that there's the initial Kal Komer of like, oh, it's more obvious that what's closer to you should get more Ana, Kal Vachomer from the Chaya to the Behemoth. And then we like voice a concern of, oh, maybe you're going to gather all the stuff in. And then we say, this is also important. So allow the Chaya to eat and you stop once the Chaya stop eating. It doesn't feel like a hard rejection of the first Kal Vachomer.
Right, even though it just sort of, it never like really attacks it, just sort of slowly moves in the opposite direction.
It just slowly calls what it says, what it said initially, completely wrong and flips it on his head based on like slight.
Right now, but now, by the way, now I want to point something out. Is that if this analysis is right, at some level, Beor is obvious, right? Because what is Beor really saying?
It's a part of Hefker.
Yeah. That it's an expression. It's not a separate value. What it's saying is, if you're going to eat, you have to eat it as Hefker. And Beor is sort of a logical expression of that, which is there must be a point at which your eating transforms into non-Hefker-like eating, and that's problematic.
So
right, and at that point you have to do something to restore balance. Right? Now, that's going to become very clear according to who, as we're going to see. According to some, the Rishonim that think that what? That Beor is being remafkir. Right? That's exactly what they seem to be saying. Which is that Beor isn't something new. What is it? It's a return to status quo. Is you're allowed to eat Be'er Shviat as long as you relate to it as ownerless.
Which is...
Right? That's all Beor means. But there comes up, and as long as there's an abundance, you having in your house doesn't deny the fact that it is Hefker. Right? But you see how you can get to an analysis like that where you don't really need a source for Beor? At some level, it's sort of obvious once you know the rules of Shemitah.
So wouldn't that mean you still be able to take
90% of the animal food and store it in your house?
Well, it doesn't seem as though.
Oh, no. We talked about how much you're allowed to harvest quantities.
That's for yourself.
No, we talked about how much quantity, remember? Harvesting. We talked about some of that.
Then it's still a little weird as to why the Sifra brought that other pasuk, Minhasad.
Oh, good. So now what do you say? So Minhasad, so either you could say, well, it just means the same thing. But what else might it mean? This might mean something else. What might it mean?
It's not based on
the drasha there. It could be that it's about hefker or not, but it might also be that what?
That this is just speaking as a general rule. This is...
It might be, but also, right? It could be that there's something else. Meaning, remember we talked about earlier in the year, we talked about kedusha. We said what's kadosh? Where's the kedusha come from?
Oh, from the sadan.
Oh, remember we talked about there? We said, wait a second, is the kedusha really on the fruit or on the land? And the fruit is an expression of the land, right? Which is maybe you have to eat from the field. Your eating has to be an expression of that which is in the field. I don't know. Everything started late. Let me try to at least get the drush up there. So a few more. I'm going to try to at least do this because I figured things are a little bit crazy. Anyways, a few more minutes. Right. So it could be that this drasha is just like the other one, but it could be that no. Can you just open the door for me? Shalom. But it could be that what? Right. It's actually.
Do you think you want to?
I think it's late enough. You could probably just leave it here. It doesn't go in the fridge for that.
Yeah.
That maybe it's teaching you, no, there's something about eating min hasadeh, right? Right? Maybe there's something about eating min hasadeh. Now, all of this assumes that these drashot in the end, fundamentally, are going to come to the same point. But it's possible that they don't. It's possible there are two rules. We're going to see... And we're going to see that Rov Rishonim think that whatever Beor is, there's only one thing called Beor. Right? But the simplest read of this is there are two drashot, which means there's two types of Beor. And what that is, we're going to see. And that's really going to be where the Ravid comes in. Where the Ravid says there's two types of Beor. And as we're going to see, what's the Ravid going to say? And I mean, I'll tell you Bikitsur what he's going to say. But I want you to see how he gets it from the drashot. He says there's one stage of Biur at which you have a chiyuv to remafkir it. And a second stage of Biur at which you have to destroy it. Right? Now, I'll give you the overview, but what is he going to say? He's going to say that if there's no produce locally, but there's still somewhere in the country, you have to be remafter it. But when it's run out from the country and all that's left is what's in your house, then you have to destroy it. Right? And you see what he's doing, right? He's taking these two drashot and he's saying there's two things going on here. One hefker, which is one beer, which is just a function of hefker, right? Which is make sure the status quo is maintained. And then there's some other stage at which something changes.
I mean, that's still a little bit weird. You think that in the way that being mafker it works when there's no produce locally, being mafker it should still work for
good. So we're gonna see the right. Okay, we're not gonna do that today.
Okay.
But what I wanted to do today, just today, was to realize that all the understandings are emerging from these two drashot. Right, which are trying to understand what are the limitations built into the psukim. And again, one possibility is there's nothing, is derabanan. One is you don't need a pasuk. Right? This is really another expression of hefker. Right? That's all bira is. The third possibility is no, this is introducing a new halacha. And we see that part of what defects it is what's the primary category you're dealing with, hefker or the proper usage of perot shvi'it. And those are going to lead to different conceptions of what biur might mean. Okay, I'm just going to give you, so that, right, Sklar can change, can start. I wanted to give you one suggestion here I gave you in number three from Rabbi Daniel, right, in the Moreno thing, right? And he tries to attack these drasher, and he presents the following attempt, right? He says, maybe like this. Havdel b'sisi bin chayav v'imaj v'ema mivuyetet v'ilo chayag de'la pera v'chofesh. The main difference between Behema, what's mivuyetet? No, mivuyetet means domesticated, but why? You guys understand Hebrew. It's bayeted.
Oh,
it's housed. Mivuyetet, right? It lives in a house, as opposed to chayot, which are wild. Ha'adam milaket ve'oger masbo le'motav. A person collects all these animals for his food, ve'ilu chayot ochelet ba'artzecha. But wild animals eat out there. Right? So he says it could be that what? The first drasha functions on the level of Shemitah is about collective ownership. Kulanu ochlem yachad. And lo yitachin shivatzer matzav jemot mamshichot lechol. And therefore, it can't be that we eat when they don't eat. Right? That our animals eat when they don't. Right? So what was the Havamina? The Havamina was we focus on the mitzvah to eat. But after that, we say, no. We focus on the way he takes it, collective eating. Which as long as we're all eating, then it's okay. Once I eat and you don't eat, then I'm showing ownership over you. Call that hefker, call that collective ownership. Right? And that's, he says, even worse, true for people. It can't be that the rich person can find a way to collect food for future use. And the when the homeless have no food. So the first crush is telling you that at some point, by you eating, you're no longer eating that which is collectively owned, or that which is hefker. By you eating, you are showing ownership. Right? There's a state, as long as everybody can eat, you eating at home does not show ownership. Right? At some point, if you eat and there's a lack, right? Right? If we all eat, so we're all eating. If I eat when you're starving, that shows that I think I have more rights to it than you do. Right? But what about this, right? The second drasha. Says the second drasha, the simple pshat, is that it's not about that. What is it about? The kedushat. Haaretz. Right? And then he gives an example. He says, let's take a mashal for a sukkah. Right? On Sukkot, we live in the shadow of God. Right? We feel like God's guests. The land is goes back to God. Right? So what does he say? At some level, there's two aspects. One is, Tishmita is the either Hefker, collective ownership, the Ben Adam L'Chavero component, right? That's captured by the first drasha. The second drasha, as we saw, comes from the Kedusha, which comes from the land, which is the Ben Adam L'Makom, which is, it's not just that I have to relate during Shemitah to the fact that I don't own it more than you. What do I really have to do? Relate to the fact that it's God's and not any of ours.
Right?
And he says, maybe that's what's going on. He said, maybe you would have said that at some conceptual level, the right thing to do in Shemitah is really to what? To eat only in the field. Just like on Sukkot, we say you have to eat not in your house. So in Shemitah, maybe you would have thought if the point of Shemitah isn't just to show that you and I own it equally, but that neither of us own it and God owns it, then where should we be eating? In the field, because the land is God's. So what is the drasha telling you? That no, you're allowed to eat home as long as what? You maintain the min hasadeh awareness. How do you do that?
If
it still exists in the field, so then how do I relate to it? It's like the harvest festival. I go out of the harvest, I take enough for lunch, and I come home.
It's still
right. Correct, because remember, what was the halacha we saw by Ktsira? How much are you allowed to take? As much as you need for now, or three meals. So he says, listen, if you're at the harvest festival and I take one meal at a time, and I pick my food, I go eat inside. Even though I'm inside, what am I still doing? I'm relating to the food as
field
food. What happens when I start filling my storehouses?
It's mine.
Right? So he says, maybe what it's saying, right? He said one drasha, right? He said these drasha are functioning in two levels. The first drasha is functioning on the collective ownership level, which is, I eat if you can eat. The second drasha is saying, neither of us should be allowed to eat if what?
If
we don't recognize it's from?
If one of us can't eat, then neither.
No, that's the first drasha. The second one is really neither of us should be able to eat because whose is it? God's. But God allows us to eat. But if God allows us to eat, maybe we should only eat in his space. Kamash Malan, listen, as long as it's out in the field and you're taking small quantities and everything we've talked about, so you are relating to it as God's, right? But as soon as you start bringing it into your house and there's nothing left in the field, then what? I break the link between me and the field. And therefore, he says, Shtei drashot mevusasot al ikaron. So he said, it's both drashot are based on the same principle. Shekadosh baruch hu natan lekulanu zchut lechol miperotav. That God gave us the right to eat his fruit. Achad drasha rishona mitmakedet b'todah hashutafut. The first one focuses on the joint ownership mentality. Lo yitachen shebemor ochlot kasher lechayot ein. That the domestic animals can't eat while the wild animals have no food. The second drasha reminds you that even when you're eating that which is collectively owned, you all need to remember that it's from God. Right?
Okay.
Now, I will just add, and we'll finish with this, is that now what do you do with this explanation? So you have two approaches you can take. One is to say, and this is the majority of you have shown him, that even though we have two drasha, it's one halacha, and you would have to come up with some sort of idea, like what Rabbi Daniel presents. Because what's he doing? He's saying, why are there two drasha? Because they're coming at the same idea, but from two different angles, right? One focuses on how I relate to you, the other on how to God, right? How I relate to the field from God. It synthesizes to say, we eat as long as we don't express ownership between each other, and maintain that connection to the field so that we remember that it's God's, right? So it's two drashot, but in the end, we're only looking for one halacha, right? But as I said, the Ravid is going to be the one who looks at this and says, no, it's not just these are two sides of the same coin. It's that these two ideas are two different types of biur, right? These are two different types of viewers. So what I wanted to do today was, again, just focus on the drasha and see how it's grappling with, again, is this Doraita, is Darabanan? Is Biur an extension of Hefker and the mitzvah of Achila and everything we've seen, or is this something new, right? Is Biur, to the extent that it exists, a function of my relationship with other people or other creatures, or is it about the Kedusha aspect of Shemitah? Right? This is the problem. Shemitah always has these multiple elements, and Biur and the two drashot, right, bring you in conversation with each of them, and what we're going to see tomorrow when we do the main three Shitot Rishonim on what is Biur. What I want you to do is keep in mind these drashot and see how it plays out in their maskana of what exactly is going on. Again, we're going to see three views with some variations in it. The Rambam, Ramban, and the Raivid, right? And you'll see, I put Rashi there, some variation, okay? So that Reiskar has some time. Let's stop with it there.